some people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also what things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number 866-444-3478. This hour brought to you by Farmers Market Soap, Kyolic, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, and lots of other great sponsors that we have that you'll be hearing from as we go on the show. The website is dirtdoctor.com. The newsletter is free. All you have to do is tell us you want it. Send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com or simply fill out the form. It's on the homepage of the website, dirtdoctor.com. I've got some catching up to do. We just spent some time with Umar Micah talking about poison ivy. If you missed that, I recommend you listen to the podcast. The podcasts are put on Facebook and on dirtdoctor.com as soon as Matt gets around to it. When is that usually, Monday or Tuesday? Well, whenever. Just take a look and see. It'll be there, and you can listen to all the past stuff and enjoy it. And if you've got any questions, of course, let us know by email or call the show. Calling the show, again, is 866-444-3478. Let's see. I'm going to catch up with some callers that have been holding, and then we'll catch up on my points there. One listener, Brad, was unable to hold. Hope he's still listening. Wants to get away from chemical pesticide, needs help going organic. Well, that's kind of a broad question. I guess my best answer there is to go to dirtdoctor.com and then click on the button, the word, it says guides right on the home page of the website. Under that button is all the basic stuff, the formulas, the basic program for rose, overall basic program, the program for fruit and pecan trees, the program for organic rose production, the formulas for Garrett juice, the sick tree treatment, the tree trunk goop, all that. So that's a great way to get started. All my books, especially the organic manual, have that in book form for you. You can get an organic manual free if you join at a certain level of the Organic Club of America. So that's another option. And then if you have a question about anything specific, you can go into our website, dirtdoctor.com again, and go into the library. It's a big button up at the top of all the columns of words. Click on the library and look things up alphabetically. It's everything is in alphabetical order there, and you should be able to find what you need. And some of the things will be in newsletter form. We've done newsletters, which means that we've gone into quite a bit of detail about them and provided links and all that. So there's a lot of information for you there, Brad. Hope that helps. If you had other specific questions, just call me back. Next in Dewey, Arizona, is Charlene. Hi, Charlene.
Good morning, Howard. I've been a fan of yours since I discovered you back in 2005.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, recently I just purchased a Oklahoma Redbud.
Okay.
And it's in what I guess is a 5-gallon container. And before the landscapers planted it, I went outside and trying to get down to the flare.
Mm-hmm.
And as I can see the very top of it, I'm finding all these roots that are, you know, coming up at me, and I don't know what to do. Do I leave them alone, or do I cut them off, or what do I do?
Well, it's a good question. It's a very common situation where the roots are trying to grow up to oxygen is what's going on there, Charlene. We call those bird's nest roots, and they need to be cut off. A lot of people are afraid of doing that, that it would hurt the plant, but it hurts the plant more long-term to leave it all on there. You're probably going to find also when you remove the bird's nest mass of roots, you're going to find some bigger roots that are circling around in the pot under that. So the best way for you to go is to take the red bud out of the container and soak it in a big bucket or a wash tub or something that you've tossed a little bit of Garrett juice into. And I'm talking about soaking it for 2 hours or something, really hydrate it. And you, during that time, you can rake the soil and the mulch off the top so you can see the roots. Sounds like you've already done that. But cut those bird's nest roots off. And the ones, if there are circling and girdling, which there probably will be, you can, once hydrated, you can spread them out. You can pull them out a little bit so that when it goes in the ground, they're not left circling round and round in the ground to become a problem later on. Is there a risk of harming the tree to do this? Yeah, there's a little bit, but it's a definite problem if you leave those roots on there long term.
Well, then will it be bare root when it's planted?
It probably won't be, and I call this kind of semi-bare rooting a plant. What it's going to do is remove the loose stuff from the surface, and if it's really wound up tight, those roots that are wound up tight hold the soil in there. You don't end up totally bare rooting it. So just kind of go into a subjective decision here of taking the stuff off the top, soaking it, and then if they're really wound, see if you can loosen them up a little bit without completely tearing the whole ball apart.
Should I put Garrett juice in the water?
Yeah, just put a little splash in there. You don't need a whole lot. You want to, the best thing to do would be Garrett juice and some mycorrhizal fungus. And if it's in the Garrett juice, if you have Garrett Juice Pro or not, just buy one of the products that does. And if you don't have it yet, you can always get it later and mix it in Garrett juice and drench it into the planting area. Then.
No, I have Garrett Juice Plus and I have Thrive.
Okay, you mix those two together.
Yeah, I use them all the time. I've already given it a drenching of the Garrett Juice and Thrive.
Okay, good.
Well, then I should do this probably just before the landscapers, a day or so before they're going to plant it.
Yeah, it ought to be done, and as soon as the roots are loosened and everything from this process, it ought to go in the ground right away.
Okay, so I'll just make sure when the exact day that they're going to plant it.
Yeah. Does the top look good and healthy, nice shiny leaves and all that?
Yes, it's a little wind whip from being brought to the, brought out from the nursery.
Yeah, they should have covered it up a little better.
Well, I didn't do it. The nursery did it, yeah. And... it's one of those things. What do you do? I have one other problem. I have a friend that has a autumn blaze maple tree that's probably, I'm going to guess, 15 years old. It's got about a 20-foot canopy on it.
Okay.
And the root flare, of course, is showing. And now she's got all these roots coming to the surface. And I recommended that we get an arborist to come out and expose the root flare on it. Now, I don't know if that's the right way to go.
Absolutely. That's exactly what you should do. And what happens there is when the flare is buried, those roots that are going out too deep in the ground, they start turning and coming up to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're seeing. So you still want to expose the flare. You're going to end up leaving a dish in the ground, a hole, for a while, but it'll fill back in over a period of time. But those hybrid maples like that are notorious, like Chinese pistachio trees, about being too deep in the containers, whether they're bald and burlapped or in container of some kind, and then being planted a little bit too deeply, and the final result is what you're seeing there, trunk coming out of the ground like a telephone pole.
Right, yes, and she don't want to lose the tree, so that's why I suggested we go that route. She was out there with her little hand shovel, and I said, don't do that,
Well, you can do that, but you have to go very, very slowly and be very careful when you do it. We use some hard tools from time to time as part of it as well, but the best way to go is with the air spade because you do little to zero damage to the roots if you go that way.
And that's what I told her. I said, otherwise you're going to lose your tree eventually because with that root flare buried,
Take some before and after pictures for us and send them in. We'll show people how to get it straightened out.
I will do that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
so very much, Howard.
No.
Pleasure talking to you.
Same here.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Open line, 866-444-3478. Bobby in Clarinda, Iowa. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Howard. My question is concerning hostas, which were hailed upon tremendously. We had about a five-minute hail that just absolutely devastated them. If they had any protection, they're just full of holes, And if they didn't, they've just gone completely to mush. My question was, should I cut off the entire plant or just those damaged leaves?
Well, how long ago did this happen, Bobby?
2 weeks.
2 weeks ago. And there's
no evidence of new growth yet.
No, that's not a good sign. What we probably need to do is the leaves that are really heavily damaged, go ahead and cut them off. The ones that are completely killed, obviously cut off and tidy the plant up. Drench the plants with Garrett juice mixed to the point of being ready to spray foliage. But make sure you either add now or later one of the products that has biological activity in it. Let me talk to you off the air. I got to run for a second. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back after this. Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria, combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And let's go to Chino Valley, Arizona, and talk to Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning, Howard.
What's going on?
Well, a couple of things. First off, I've got a bumper crop of black widows this year.
Do you?
Yeah.
Where, in the vegetable garden, or where are they?
No, they're just around the property.
Around the house?
Yeah.
Well, they're nasty little buggers. They'll hurt you. The good news is they're easy to identify because their web is such a dense, easy to see kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can kill them with the, what you need to do. They're dangerous, obviously, with any of the essential oil products. There's a line called Eco Smart that's probably the easiest one to find because it's in the big box stores. There's one called Essentria that's out there. There's one here in our area that you can definitely get mail order if all else fails. And it's called Trifecta, and all of those would be very effective on the black widows. 2 ounces of orange oil per gallon of water, or even stronger than that if you're not spraying any plants, will also kill them. So they're fairly easy to kill if you see where they are. Preventing them is a little tougher. They, they're hunters, and so controlling the other insect pests, a lot of gardeners will see them show up in vegetable gardening, for example, in the tomatoes, because they're out there hunting other little beasts. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's beneficial to do a regular foliar feeding spray program. It's good for the plants, and it also is very helpful at keeping the pest insects, especially the larger ones like that, away. It probably hurts or at least repels some of the beneficials in smaller ones that would be a food source, but the net result is that you don't have the dangerous things around as much.
Now, do you have to get these products directly on the bug, or if the bug gets into them, if it's on the web, if it's around where the bug is, will it kill them?
If you see their web, that thick white web, and can soak it with any of those things, it'll probably kill them. It'll function as a repellent, but to actually kill, it has to get on them one way or the other. But if you soak the web with them, it's going to get on them pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other problem I'm having is I have got a Chinese elm that keeps coming back real close to my foundation. And I've cut it back a couple of times but haven't gone to the process of ripping it out. How can I kill that booger?
How big are the stems that keep coming back out of the ground?
Well, at this point, they've gotten up to about the 4-inch.
Oh, wow. Digging it out is going to be the best thing to do. Second best would be to drill holes in the stump and fill it full of molasses or some kind of sugar. Keep it moist, cover it up with shredded mulch, and any time it pops through the mulch, just keep cutting it off. The rot will be stimulated, and the sugar will help rot it and make it go away quicker. The other thing that's a much faster way to go is to call a tree care service to come out and grind it out with a stump grinder, and you'll be done with it.
Uh-huh. I uncovered about a 6-foot length of root, and that dang thing is now sending sprouts up right off the root. It seems like it's impossible to kill those things.
Well, that's why it's better, if you can, just to dig it all out. But a stump grinder, they can grind out the roots that are up near the soil surface as well as the stump, you know, and spend 30 minutes there or 45 minutes or whatever and get it completely taken care of for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in from Arizona. Couple of quick things. In fact, related to that, I had some people ask me about getting rid of little hackberry trees that were sprouting up in fence lines and things like that. It's a common question we get. And I deal with it all the time, too. I'm going to order one of these things myself, and I recommend you look into it if you've got woody weeds like that. The original product was called, and this is an interesting story, it was called a weed wrench. And I've talked about it on the air before. It's a device with a handle, and at the bottom it has a little pincher that goes out and pinches the base of the woody plant, woody weed, the little tree or whatever. And then you simply lean back on it, and this thing has real good leverage, and it just pulls the little tree out of the ground. Well, the Weed Wrench, which was probably the original company, the guy has taken a sabbatical. He's got a little political comment about why he's done it. He got tired of paying taxes or something, it says on the thing. But anyway, he's not in business anymore. And you'll have to look around a little bit, as I did, but I stumbled into something interesting. I stumbled into the fact that there's about three other companies that make a similar device, and I've written about it in my Dallas Morning News column. I didn't bring a note on what they all are, but one of them is kind of hard to forget. It's called the Extractigator is the name of it. And if you just do a quick search on it, you'll see these others that are talked about. Two of them are made in Canada. And one of them is made here in the U.S. If I can remember the names or find them, I'll throw them out on the air here later, but you can probably find them there. The other thing was the question that has been asked the most. And by the way, there's an open line all of a sudden if you want to jump on here at 1-866-444-3478. The most common question that came in this week was, what are the rates that you recommend on hydrogen peroxide for algae control, string algae control, and mustard algae in the swimming pools? And we put that in the newsletter. It's all there for you. Just go to the archives and you can see it. But the other thing is, well, I'm running out of time. I'll have to do it when I come back. I want to tell you a couple of things that Bob Webster and I talked about and that I've found on other websites that will be helpful to you on the dilution rates of hydrogen peroxide. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrot Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. I just found something, if you're interested in that weed wrench type technology, there's another one, and it's one I put in my column called the Puller Bear, P-U-L-L-E-R, Puller Bear. And it's pullerbear.com, and they've got something interesting on their website. They've got the other ones, the other products listed on there too, and a comparison of the specs and the pricing and all that. So go. That's probably the easiest way for you to see the whole deal is go to pullerbear.com, P-U-L-L-E-R, pullerbear.com. All right, to finish up real quick before we go back to the phones on this dilution rate, I think the most concern people were having, the most of the questions revolved around, this sounds great, will it hurt my fish? And no, it won't. If you use anything near the recommended rates, it not only won't hurt the fish, but it'll be good for them. Bob Webster, I do a visit with him, 30 minutes with him every Saturday morning on his show, and we were talking about this issue, and since we brought it up, it's brought a lot of other tips around. And Bob said that one of his listeners is a rancher that uses hydrogen peroxide in the watering tanks, the watering, you know, raised tanks that, that feed the livestock and everything. And he puts it in those at 1/2 cup per 50 gallons of water. And that's the lowest rate I've seen. And he said he gets great control of algae in these drinking troughs. And that's the 3% hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store, 1/2 cup per 50 gallons. Well, that's on the lowest end of the rates that you can use. The other rate that we've run into, I was just doing a quick web search, and there were some people recommending for koi ponds and things like that, 1 bottle per 100 gallons. And it doesn't say what size bottle. It's probably either 16 or 32. Probably either one would be fine, 1 bottle per 100 gallons, because the recommendation that we made in the newsletter and that I've been telling people for koi ponds and fish ponds is 1/2 gallon of the 3% hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store per 1,000 gallons. Well, all of those are a dilution rate that's more or less in line with each other, you know, the lowest one being 1/2 cup per 50 gallons, and then you go up for swimming pools to a gallon of the concentrated stuff, you know, the 30-something percent stuff per 5,000 gallons of water. And again, all this is on the in the newsletter on our website on dirtdoctor.com. But that look, that first one I mentioned here is not 1/2 cup per 50 gallons for algae and horse water troughs. And this is an easy one for you to remember and jot down, too. 1 bottle per 100 gallons. 1 bottle of 3%, the hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store. 1 bottle per 100 square feet is recommended by several people. They forgot to put what size the bottle was, but most of the bottles in the stores are either 16 or 32 ounces. Either one probably are all right with that dilution rate. Back to the phones. Kathy is next up in Dallas. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Howard. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. I think I know the answer to this, but anyway, the garlic, we planted garlic, but I think we planted it too early. And it seems like when you plant the garlic and then we plant it and then we get a shoot. And then, you know, you wait until the shoot kind of dries up and all that. But when we pull the garlic out, it almost looks like the garlic that we just planted. It's like the bulb never matures or gets any bigger.
Okay. When did you plant this?
Oh, you're going to kill me. It's June, last June.
Last June. So it's been there all through the winter and now still there.
Well, we've pulled it up. But it's like this has happened before, too,
okay,
when we even planted it later in the year.
Well, a couple of things here. The proper time to plant to have the best results is fall, is October.
Fall, right.
And planting the cloves then. When you plant the little golden bulblets, little corms that grow on the base of big bulbs, you can grow garlic from that too. But the first year,
uh-huh,
you get what's called rounds, and that's what you have is rounds.
Okay.
It doesn't break into cloves. It just stays a solid like an onion. And
yeah,
it's useful just the same way a regular garlic clove or garlic bulbs are. It just looks different. If you left it in the ground, it would grow into becoming cloved bulbs the next season. So,
can I replant these?
You can, yeah.
Oh,
you sure,
okay,
can. If you don't
all
need
right
to use
well,
them,
good.
That will grow into a full bulb for you, and probably
okay,
probably a big one. But you can harvest them anytime you want to and eat them and treat them the same way in seasoning things or having roasted garlic or whatever.
Do you plant the whole bulb, or do you plant each clove?
Well, when you plant in the proper time and everything, and the conventional way to do it, and probably the best
yeah
way, is the individual cloves go
okay
in, and they go in about twice as deep as the length of the clove. Pointy
okay
end up is ideal, as
pointy
we always say.
Pointy
but
end up, okay.
Yeah, but throwing them in sideways is what I usually do, and they work fine that way, too.
Okay. Do you have to add any other amendments or any, we're all totally organic.
No, just
that way.
Just good
for
soil.
About 15 years.
They're
okay.
They're very forgiving, but they like good soil, just like any plants.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
All right. Bye bye.
And next up is Jim in Fort Worth. Hey, Jim.
Yes, sir. Howard, you've helped me out with a lot of stuff, and I've got a good question for you this morning.
Yeah, I can see it, and I don't have a good answer.
I was afraid of that. It was a shock. We thought it was birds at first, and my wife and I were sitting on the back deck earlier this week, and we saw two squirrels go across our fence. Both of them had a tomato.
Oh, man. I don't have a good answer, Jim. It's the toughest pest I run into personally, and it's the toughest one that people call me about. They are not repelled easily. Some of the things that you can try would be spraying garlic pepper tea on a regular basis as a repellent. It sometimes works. Sometimes hot pepper will repel those bushy-tailed rats. A lot of times it won't, though. They're inconsistent about how they do it. And, of course, the only thing past that is, you know, dramatic, nasty things, trapping them, killing them in various ways, which a lot of people don't want to do. I don't do it either. I feel like doing it all the time because they're such destructive pests. But I would try the garlic pepper tea spray on a regular basis. And when I say regular basis, you're going to have to do it probably weekly for it to really do any good. They're not stupid. You know, you're producing good, organic, delicious fruit, and they want it too.
Yeah, evidently.
Yep.
The first time I've ever had this, I'm like, what in the world am I going
to
do?
Rats and mice will do it as well, but the squirrels seem to be the toughest. The garlic pepper tea formula is on my website, and it's in all my books too. It's the first organic pest control product that we ever recommended. There's currently not a commercial product on the market that I know of. So just use my formula that's under guides on the website. Spray it on a regular basis. You can add it into the Garrett juice so you're doing foliar feeding benefit at the same time. It might even make the garlic pepper tea more effective and last longer. So I'm putting you officially in charge of this research. So get back with us.
We'll do it. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye.
It's not easy, I tell you. Crazy Rick's with us. Hadn't talked to him in a while. What's up, Rick?
Well, I was going to ask you about harlequin bugs, but first off, let me offer a suggestion on the squirrel
Please.
Problem. My uncle's got a place down in middle of Florida, and they have lots of bugs and everything else that they have to worry about, as well as the rodents that can get in.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they basically build a cage around the swimming pool or a cage around the house or whatever,
yeah.
A net of some sort.
Yeah.
And, you know, chicken wire is not that expensive. You know, build himself a cage around his tomatoes and cage himself in.
Physical barrier, that's right. You know, there was a landscape architect here in Dallas years ago, and I never met him, but I wish I had. He was pretty famous. His name was Clint Smyers, and he did really dramatic landscape designs. And one of the things that he did in North Dallas was he took an entire backyard and completely enclosed it. He put in big telephone poles, and he put this net, like black netting that you put over plants, covering the entire backyard. It was kind of a cool effect, and he had a lot of tropical plants and big boulders and things like that. And so that is another way to go, but it obviously changes the landscape tremendously if you have to go that route, and it costs more money too.
Yeah, but if you want them nice, juicy, homegrown tomatoes and you got that problem, you know, what are you going
to
do?
That's one way to go. Unfortunately, some of the squirrels are smart enough to figure out how to get under the edges of it and still get to the fruit, but
that helps.
Ingenious.
Yeah, they're ingenious little
creatures. What do you got on harlequin bugs?
Well, I don't know. 2 weeks ago, I started seeing some harlequin bugs in my roquette, in my rocket.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm pulling them out, you know, as I see them, not thinking too much about it. Wednesday of this week, everything is looking beautiful in the garden. Thursday, I go out there getting ready to pick for market on Friday.
morning or on Saturday morning, and everything's got holes in it. They're falling over. They're laying down. I mean, all over. And baby harlequin bugs just going crazy.
Well, you know as well as I do that when you have that, it's a sign that they've it's over. They've bolted because they've gone into stress. The season's over for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the rocket, yeah. But rocket has this magnificent ability of being perennial. It just goes through the winter, goes through the spring, summer, fall, and comes back up again. And, I mean, it's just there.
And you're afraid that they're going to take it completely out?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about just the roquette. You know, I'd love for them to take some of it out because it's gone so weedy on me.
Yeah.
No, they're in the arugula. They're in the everything, in my beans, in my chard, in, you know, everything.
Well, that's kind of unusual that they're hitting the plants that still are in season. That's not common. A couple of things you can do: essential oil type stuff, dusting with DE, which I'm sure you have out there. And then
I put the DE down three times.
Yeah, the final thing would be to vacuum them up. You just suck them up with a shop vac or something like that. There's a whole bunch of them. That's a real good way to control that little pretty beast.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're as small as aphids to the size of.
Hang on, Rick. I'll talk to you off there. I got to run for a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back with you right after this.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito dunks and mosquito bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic aged garlic extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation.
Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And it's Dottie in Paris. Haven't talked to you in a while.
How are you this beautiful day?
It's a great day, and I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. The gentleman with the spiders, go to whatever store that supplies these. It's the sticky traps, but the ones that fold into a triangle.
Yeah, the little tent-shaped ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they work.
Place those along the walls, in your closet, behind doors, just anywhere. I've never caught a mouse in them, but I sure do get recluse and black widows.
Well, that's good. They worry me a little bit, Dottie, because geckos and good guys.
Well, I don't have any geckos to worry about that.
Yeah.
So I'm safe on that part. And another thing, I have no flies, zero, because I use DE for my chickens and for my horse.
It really makes a difference.
Well, it works on the same principle as the BTI. It keeps the larvae from hatching.
Yeah, you probably heard me tell the story. I had a fella call me who did consulting to dairies, and he called me one day, and left a message that he was having trouble with one of his dairies, and I knew that I had recommended him use diatomaceous earth, and I thought, oh, great, what'd I do, kill a cow or something? And so he calls me and said, Howard, I got a problem. I said, what is it? He said, well, in one of the dairies, the DE that we're feeding the cattle is not keeping the fly population in the milking areas down. And I said, well, I didn't know DE would. And at that point, I didn't really know that you'd get that indirect benefit. He said, oh, yeah. He said, in all the dairies except one, we don't have a fly problem at all. And the only thing we're doing is we're feeding the cattle 2% of their feed natural diatomaceous earth. And I said, well, is there anything different about this one dairy? And he said, thought a minute, and he said, well, you know, there is. This one has a misting system in it that cools the place. And for some reason, it was attracting the flies in some weird way. And he had to use some other, beneficial insects to help control the flies in that one case. But, yeah, if you feed an animal natural diatomaceous earth, you're not going to have very many flies.
Right. And with chickens, you know how nasty a chicken roost can get.
Yep.
I spread the cedar shavings underneath all of my roosts. Plus, I'm feeding them the diatomaceous earth in their feed.
Mm-hmm.
The cedar shavings makes the chicken house really smell nice.
Oh, yeah.
And I toss the hen scratch grains on top of that, and then they go after it, and that way it keeps it all fluffy and loose and everything. You can actually pick it up with your hands. It's not nasty or smell bad at all.
Well, you take care of your chickens really well. That's cool.
Yes, sir. But now the DE and the horses, for the horses and things like that,
mm-hmm.
Where their droppings are, you know how bad flies will get in that.
Sure.
But they don't hatch. I've got a great, huge, big Palomino stallion, and I don't have no flies.
Well, that's what one of the rancher friends of mine called me about one day. He said that he had a cow patty that he had literally taken up and put in his refrigerator. He wanted to show me
mm-hmm.
because it had dead larvae and dead flies on it. And I said, well, that's great. Y'all don't need to see it. But it's doing something kind of indirectly because, when it's in the gut of an animal, it doesn't have the dehydration properties, and it can't physically hurt them at all. But it, for some reason, it is controlling them and actually killing them somehow or another.
But with the cows and the horses, you can't run around with a bucket dusting every plop.
No, it didn't. He was just feeding it. It was killing them.
Yeah, I feed it.
Yeah,
I
he
put
was
it in their feed.
Yeah, it was killing them by just feeding it to them. Yeah. Dottie, thanks as always.
Thank you, and you have a very blessed day.
Talk to you later. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Here's, we got an open line for you, too, at 866-444-3478. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Dr. Howard. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, I got a suggestion for the guy with the squirrel problems.
Let's have it.
Squirrel problems. I just started growing tomatoes after about 38 years, and I'm not even supposed to eat them, but all my friends want them, so I'm growing them this year.
Okay.
And I decided, I said, well, let's see, I can pay about $6 or $7 for the wire baskets that you put around them, to contain them. And then I said, the heck with that. I went and got a quarter-inch steel round stock, 4-foot, and I'm training them to those. And then I went out and bought some hardware wire because we got millions of squirrels around us.
Mm-hmm.
And I got hardware wire, the 4-foot, roll.
Half-inch stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I made big baskets for the tomatoes, and then I cut tops for them. And now the squirrels sit on the tops wondering how they're going to get into the tomatoes.
Oh, that's a cool idea. You use welded wire.
Yeah, the old hardware wire.
And made a complete enclosure for the tomatoes. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, just use some nylon ties, and make a big circle
I
with
like
it and strap it together. And that way you can, and you make the top so it actually hooks on a little bit. And that way when you're ready to pick tomatoes, just take the top off and start picking tomatoes without messing with the plant hardly at all.
Yeah, you're going to have some kind of connection to the side, too, that makes it easy to get in for the tomatoes that are down low on the plant, wouldn't you?
Well, these ones I bought are the heck they call them, pretty boys or something, big boys.
Yeah, so they're
the
only producing
the top.
The plants
themselves get about 3.5 feet tall.
Okay.
So.
Well, for people that have to get the low ones, though, they could just use some kind of simple connection and undo it to reach in and harvest those. Good,
true, and
good
if you use if you use the ties, you always get a bunch of them at a time, so you can just cut them and just put new ones on.
Richard, thank you. I got to run. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back after this. Don't go away.